the tears that make her she felt such pain, some spoke in anger, her faults were spoken. There's no place here for her. Still on she came, through the shade of flushed face, until at last she fell before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the master, from her box of alabaster, died cut to the core by praise on him. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears, and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when you wrapped his love all around me. The sin that had me bound. I spent my days or my life in conversion into a little treasure box I thought I found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and filled my soul with the
emotions and the thoughts and the movements of this thing called love. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And I want to stop there this week and continue on, Lord willing, next week with the next verse. But I want to talk to you today in this sermon series, Love Does. And I want to talk to you about the character of love. And I felt led some weeks ago to do this sermon series. And we've been talking to the brothers about it. Of course, Valentine's Day was last Wednesday. And so we are taking up this opportunity to deal with and to introspect and to uncover the truths that are behind this word and this thing called love. Let us pray together today. Lord Jesus, as we enter into the Holy Word, I pray that you would let me speak, God, not to people's heads today, but help me to speak to their hearts. From your heart to their heart today, let a word and a message go forth to your people. Something inside of us would be transformed, and that our minds would be renewed by the powerful truths of your word, and that we would be refreshed and rejoice leaving this building today renewed and transformed by the word and by the truth and by your amazing love and grace in the name of Jesus. If you want to be renewed and transformed by the love of God and the word of God, before you leave this building, would you say amen?
Amen.
Last week we talked about love is an action, but this week I want to talk to you and tell you that love is more than just actions. There is something, actions do not replace love. Actions are things that we do that express our priorities and our values and the things that we feel. And so our actions can be an expression of love. And so we want our actions, if they're going to be expressions of love, to reflect the character of love. Love isn't just the why of what we do, but love is also the way. And love has a very particular way about doing what it does. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
We talked about it last week. There are many actions, but there's only one love. And when our actions are motivated by a pure and perfect love, they will have the most benefit to the people that we are ministering to. How many times have you heard people say, I'm only doing this because I love you? And what are we usually thinking? We're usually thinking, this sure doesn't feel like love. It can be more than a little confusing and upsetting to us when someone who claims to be some great Christian believer treats you like you're some sort of a soulless beast. The Corinthian church was falling headfirst into this trap. Their spiritual gifts and expressions of God's power were very real, but their hearts had wandered from the motive and the way of love. Sometimes we just need to be reminded it's all about love.
Amen.
They were using their spiritual prowess to excuse a sinful, a selfish, and hateful heart. It says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 21, you've heard it before, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And loving our fellow human beings cannot be some scripted and choreographed show that we put on for people in the world and for God to see. But loving others has to originate from an altruistic and compassionate heart. It has to be genuine. It has to be real. It has to be something that we cannot stop ourselves from doing. It is this thing called selfless, sacrificial love that always chooses to do regardless of how the situation may be unfolding, regardless of what may be being said or done, regardless of what offenses or offendedness may come our way, love always does what love does, because love does what love is.
Amen.
Love is not just a list of do's and don'ts. God's law was never meant to be just a list of do's and don'ts. Well, if I do this and I don't do that, it doesn't work like that. Love is something much more, it goes down into it, the depth of our soul. It is something much more than that. Yes, it is a guide. The law is a guide for behavior. But we also know one of the two greatest commandments that God ever gave. Love the Lord your God with your whole life and being. And love your neighbor as yourself. The law, Jesus said, is hinged on those two commandments.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we all know what the golden rule, quote unquote, is. Whatever you wish people would do to you and for you, you should do the same to them. The law and the commandments were never meant to be a list of behaviors and prohibitions that were to be followed or else. But the law and the commandments were written to be a way of life that we could fall in love with. The writer of Psalm 119:97 says this, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." And the law and the commandments were an expression of the heart and character of a holy, loving God. His primary concern was to teach people how to love. How to love Him and relate to Him in a loving way. And experience His love in return. And how to relate to one another. And to love one another and receive one another. Love from one another in return. God wasn't looking for a group of people that would say, "Well, we've done everything like you told us to do. Now give us our reward." No, God was looking for people who would fall in love. He was looking for a people who would relate to Him heart to heart. He said of the Jews, "They draw nigh to me with their lips." They come up to me and they're saying all these nice words, but when I look into their heart, it doesn't feel like love. The things that they're saying don't feel like love. Something is wrong with them. Their words have been parroted and have been memorized, but their hearts are in some other place. God is looking for a kindred spirit that would grow among His people. He's looking for godly actions that are motivated by godly character to show the world this is the way to live. In Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, it says, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law." What is he saying? He is saying that the basis of the law is much greater than a list of rules and regulations and prohibitions, etc. But the law is something more elemental. It's like the atoms and the electrons and the protons and the neutrons and the electricity that makes up all life. Love is something more intrinsic. It is something more of the base nature of God. And when He created humanity and He created the universe and the worlds, it was created with love in His heart and love in His mind.
Amen.
They don't even know what the law is, but they understand it in their hearts. And it says in verse 15, "They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them." Because we were made in the image of God. We have something inside of us trying to teach us, trying to show us.
something broken, something perverted, something that has nearly gone out and died out inside of us. So God sent Jesus, His one and only Son, and He died on the tree, shed His blood for you and me. Why does the Bible say that Jesus, the Son of the living God, would die? Why would this man, Jesus, be a mediator for us? It was because of God's love.
I was reading in my Bible reading this week, went through the book of Ruth, the story of Ruth, the most beautiful love story in the Bible. We find Elimelech and Naomi, husband and wife, and their boys, Mahlon and Chilion. They decided that they were going to take a break from church. And they spent 10 years as backslid Jewish believers. They lived in a pagan society yet. Married their sons to pagan women, but they still believed in their God and in the commandments. During this time, they never attended synagogue. They never paid their tithes. They never celebrated with the Jewish brethren the holidays of celebrating God's deliverance and His blessings. And when, as is always the case, the inevitable death and disappointments came, Naomi decided, I'm going to head back to Israel. But she would go back as a penniless, childless widow. And this is when we see the star of the story, Ruth. God is always trying to get to us with His love. He's always trying to reach inside of us and let us experience His love. And it's amazing how we can resist that. It's so beautiful to feel the love of God down in your soul. So amazing and so life-changing, transforming to know that God loves me. Hallelujah. The devil is the greatest lie that he has ever perpetrated on the human race. That God doesn't love you. That God doesn't have your best interest in heart. That God is not careful and concerned about you. And He can really care less. But come over here and I'll show you how to do it. Come over here. If you want to get anything in life, you're going to have to get it for yourself. It's the greatest lie that was ever perpetrated against humanity. Why is it the greatest lie? Because the devil's coming against the greatest truth that was ever expressed to the human race. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. Ruth had fallen in love with God. Her husband was dead. Her future was bleak. Her mother-in-law was suffering severe grief and depression. But something had got a hold of Ruth's heart. The law and the commandments of God had done something in her. The prophet Jeremiah said, and there's going to come a day when I'm going to write my laws on the heart of my people. Ain't nobody going to have to teach anybody. Ain't nobody going to have to explain anything to anybody. Because everybody is going to understand and comprehend and know. Because I'm going to write with a pen like I wrote the commandments on the stones on Mount Sinai. I'm going to write my laws on their hearts, and they will understand and know what it is to be loved and to love. And that's the way the world is going to be. Come. God is already doing that with people that are willing and open and are hungry for something better than what this world has had to offer to them. Ruth, love working inside of her, does the unthinkable. She didn't have to stay with her mother-in-law. She didn't have to commit to following the God of Naomi. She didn't have to make a treacherous journey and go live with people, no doubt, that were going to mistreat her and look down on her. But that is the character of love working in her life. Something is drawing her to Naomi and to this place called Israel. Ruth wasn't perfect. She
was a pagan. She wasn't wealthy and powerful, but she was a pauper. She wasn't a chaste virgin, but she was a widow. But she had opened her heart, and God had written his laws and commandments there. And when you read the story of Ruth, it is the perfect example of how God's character of love can work in our lives if we would just let it. The Bible says that Naomi even tried to talk her daughter-in-law Ruth out of continuing her. Can you imagine trying to talk somebody out of their belief in God? She said, go back. What was she saying? Go back to your pagan lifestyle. Go back to your old ways. But Ruth had been touched by the divine. And this was her response to Naomi. Listen to what Ruth says to Naomi here, because this is the character of love. Love always knows what to do. Hallelujah. I said, love always, God doesn't have to tell you what you need to do if his love is working perfectly in your heart. Amen. If you got a question about what you should be doing, then the question you should be asking is, what's wrong with the love in my heart? Because love always knows what it should do. Sometimes we just don't want to let it work. Ruth chapter 1 verse 16 and 17. Listen to what she said. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. And your people shall be my people. And your God, my God. And listen to the character of love here. The Bible says, no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And here she speaks those exact words. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. And may the Lord do so to me. And more also, if anything but death parts me from you. Everybody say, love does. Hallelujah. That's the character of love. It knows what it should do. And it won't let anything stand in the way of that. What is this love? It is a complex of characteristics. Each aspect of love, lends itself to the greatness and the power of love. It reminds me of the holy incense that Moses was instructed to compound, that they would burn in front of the most holy place. They had onycha and scanty and galbanum and frankincense, and they would mix them together in the right proportions with salt. If these sweet fragrant spices were taken along, they might represent an overwhelming pungency. Taking individually or mixed disproportionately, the fragrance would be undesirable, but together they created a sweet fragrance. How many of you can hear what I'm saying today? Hallelujah. Love is a complex of characteristics. And the challenge that Paul presents to the church in Corinth is for them to discover the right characteristics and the right ingredients and the right proportions. Amen. Of God's amazing love. And the challenge is still being faced in every one of the believers' lives today. Is my love mixed with all of God's divine spices? Is the love I have mixed with the right proportions? Am I burning with the pure love that comes before my Father above like a sweet-smelling perfume? And just as important to what love is and what love does is the importance of what love is not and what love does not do. There's always a temptation, church, to tinker with the ingredients ingredients and possibly make the mixture of love and the fragrance better than God's. You got a better love than the one that God's putting out. I'd like to buy some of it. I'll be an investor. Amen. I'll get on your whatever that website is they call Kickstarter campaign. I'll put down $1,000 or everything I've got if you can tell me you can mix a better love than the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What is this love? What are the different aspects and complexities of this love that makes it so amazing and that makes it so perfect? First of all is patience. I know you all don't want me to preach today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, I know y'all don't want me to preach today. I go easy on you. Patience, the word that is used here, we studied it 2 weeks ago in our adult Bible class. It always describes patience with people and not patience with circumstances. What is the word for when we talk about patience with circumstances? What's that called? It's called endurance. But when you're dealing with people, it's called patience. When we lack a high degree of God's love, we will also lack the ability to put up with the miscreants in our lives. And instead of leaving things in the hands of God and allowing love to shine through, we will lash out and make our irritations fully known. Everybody say, love does patience.
Love does not do impatience. And if you feel like you can probably grow in this area, and raise your hand with me and say amen.
Amen.
Kindness. If patience is a passive non-responsiveness to offenses, then kindness is an active response. There is a gracious, gentle, good-natured and courteous response to those who would rile up our feathers. Instead of an attitude of criticism that says I may have to forgive them, but I don't have to forget. Let me tell you something. Love knows how to forget. Instead of an attitude that says I will teach them a lesson for their own good. Instead of these, there is a purely benign reaction and response. Love is kind and it is never mean. Envy. Love does not desire or covet the things that others have. And love does not grudge the fact that someone is doing well and even better than they are. That's not love. Boasting. Love does not brag or show off. Love is never impressed with itself. Love expresses awe and wonder at the blessing of being loved and the privilege of sharing love with someone. Hallelujah. I'm talking about how you mix. This is love. It is a complex of characteristics that when all included together by the power of the Holy Spirit will be a force that cannot ever fail. Will be a power that cannot ever be withstood. It will destroy every adversary and it will turn every situation and circumstance around. Love is not arrogant. It is not inflated or puffed up or egotistical. Love never thinks of its own importance. There is always an air of humility about love. Love keeps a healthy comparison of itself in light of God's greatness and not the people around it. Love is never rude. It is not improper. It is not unseemly or unbecoming. Love does not take delight in being blunt, even to the point of being brutal. Love never operates without grace or graciousness. And love never forgets that courtesy and tact and politeness are lovely things. My mom had a hard time teaching this to me. I've always been blunt. I've always tried to short circuit and dispense with the pleasantries and get right to the point. I think the first time I ever heard that word was coming from my mom. Hallelujah. I guess it was a personality issue that I had. Probably still do. There's beauty in graciousness. How are you doing today? I'm doing great. How are you doing today? There was a time in my life where I would think to myself, why do people say stupid stuff like that? You know they ain't doing good. Why are they lying? Well, I'm just telling you, we all need to grow in the character of love. You may not have a problem with rudeness, but I guarantee you there's two or three things on this list before I get done that you could probably work on a little bit. I'll work on me, and you work on you. And together we will learn to express the characteristics of God's love to each other, to our family members, and to this world. They will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love one another. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a man of God. I'm a daughter of Zion. How are you loving your brothers and your sisters? How are you loving your neighbor? How are you reacting and loving your enemies? The Bible said, love your enemies.
Amen.
Right.
Do you have to preach like this? Yes. I need to preach like that. I need to sit down for a whole day and study this stuff out and get beat up by it. And then I'll come to church black and blue you up a little bit with it. And then we'll all go to the prayer closet next week and say, God, help me. Fill me with your love. And I'm telling you something. There are things that I used to struggle with that I don't struggle with anymore. You know why? Because love is having an impact in my life. God's love has changed. You can't pray to God and read His Word and work for Him and it not having an impact on you and Him not rub off on you and His character begin to seep into you and you start to talk like Him and think like Him and act like Him and respond like Him. If you ain't and you've been calling yourself a Christian for some years, then I wonder how much time are you spending with Him? Love does not insist on your own way. There are two kinds of people in the world. I put this on Facebook yesterday. Those who always insist on their privileges and those who always remember their responsibilities. Love thinks less of its own rights and more of its duties. No matter how smart we may be, no matter how spiritual we may be, we must never allow that to get in the way of love. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Master, how can I? What can I do to inherit eternal life? Well, you know what the scriptures say. Honor your father and your mother. Love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and on and on. I have done all of these things since my youth. And then Jesus looked at him, and he said, sell everything that you have, and you may have in the bank. You should never let any of that get in the way of love.
Amen.
Praise God. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable. It does not have a button that people can push. How many of you said that recently? She pushed my buttons. He pushed my buttons. I want to tell you a secret about love. It's got a button, but it's a squishy button. And when you push it, jelly oozes out of it like a jelly donut. That ain't the way it does me. Hallelujah. You need to add some a little bit of Anika, a little bit of Scaptia. You need to add a little bit more Calvinum. Maybe a little bit more frankincense. Maybe you done left out the salt. Maybe you need to just mix it a little bit longer. Because I'm telling you that love is never irritable. It does not have a button that people can push. When you're walking in the love of God, the only thing you can ever do, the only way you can ever respond is with love.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's all right. I'm getting close to being done. Love is never resentful. Love never just forgives. But love knows how to forget. The word resentful is an accounting term. And you have a ledger book and you write everything down in it. That's what the word resentful actually means in its original form. But love doesn't do that. Love doesn't keep records and tracks of everything that everybody's done, everything that everybody's hurt them with, and then they've got their little grudge ledgers that they keep. But love has forgotten what was done. Oh, it's quiet in here today. I know it is. And love rejoices, and it knows when to rejoice and when not to rejoice. Love never rejoices at the misfortune of another, not even that of an enemy, but love always rejoices when truth prevails. And love doesn't sit around brooding with thoughts of, the truth hurts. But rather, love meditates with thoughts of this: the truth will set you free. It's all about the characteristics and the complex and the amalgam of an altruistic, selfless, compassionate nature that thinks to itself, I don't ever want to do anything to hurt anybody. But every time I speak, my wife brought a video to me last night to watch, and she knows that I like to listen to Carrie Job, but I shifted away from Carrie Job this year, last year, because before we weren't in revival, I was listening to Carrie Job and all mellow and melancholy. But 2017, we church went into revival. I switched back over to my old Fred Hammond tapes. Yeah, get ready. Hallelujah. And I started listening to that one. When I put my messages together. Hallelujah. Amen. You know who Fred Hammond is? Shout hallelujah. You don't. God bless you all. Amen. One day you will experience the love of God in your soul. Hallelujah. She brought that. They went up, Lambert and Station went to the Winter Jam concert over in Emmonsville the other night. And they took some videos of Carrie Job, and they thought that I would just be all excited about that. Of course, when I was studying Carrie Job, I had already watched videos of her, many different videos, hours of videos, and so my wife. And I'm taking a nap, you know. Studying for today. And she brings... She's just waiting. You know how wives are just like this? She's just waiting over there. Just waiting to see if one eye would pop open. And then she's pouncing, you know. My dog is like, as soon as he thinks she's stirring, he's like, he's at the gate. And see, and here I am, I'm taking a nap, you know, one eye pops open, here she comes with the video. Here, watch this, and look at this. And I said, I don't want to watch this. And I sent her back over to her little couch in the corner.
And I'm sitting here studying on love's character. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that wasn't very nice. Hallelujah. So I apologize to my wife today for being grouchy. Love is not blurt. Love is not irritable. Love is not grouchy. Church, God wants to fix the inconsistencies in our love. If you want God to help you fix the inconsistencies in your love, would you say amen?
Amen.
And you may be thinking to yourself today as I close, there's no way I could live up to that. And I want to just let you in on a secret. I may be thinking the same thing. Or you may be thinking there's some things I need to add into the mix of love in my heart. Or you may be thinking that there is something serious broken inside of you. Regardless of what level of perfection your love has or has not reached yet, God is here today to help you sort it out. Can we stand together? God is here to help you sort out. God is ready right now to help you get rid of some things that should not be in your heart. And God is here today to add whatever is missing. God wants to give you a pure love. He wants to give you a perfect love. He wants to drive all the nonsense that goes on in your heart and settle your thoughts and emotions once and for all. You believe what I'm saying today, would you shout hallelujah? How many of you would like to experience more and deeper of God's transforming love? How many of you would like God to just come into your heart and do a complete renovation? Ask yourself this question as we begin to prepare to spend some time in prayer. What did Pastor Rob say today that stabbed me a little bit inside when he said it? What did he say that aggravated me? What did he say that hurt me? What did he say that irritated me? What did he say that scared me? What did he say that excited me? I'm not here to beat you up today, but I'm here to tell you that if you can get the love of God working inside of you, that is going to have such an amazing impact on the people that God has put in your world. God wants to help you to deal with whatever is going on in your life today. Now, God wants you to give that over to Him. If you're ready to experience a pure, flawless love, then I want you to make your way down to the front right now. And I want us all in here today to find a place to pray. I want us to take a few moments today and hunker down into your favorite prayer posture and tell God just exactly what you're struggling with. Let's get rid of some baggage today. Let's lay some heavy burdens down today. Let's leave this building happier, freer, and more equipped and capable to bring God's love to the world. God is ready to help you, and God wants to help you, and He wants to bring His perfect love into your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. Jesus gathered up the little children, the Bible says, set them on His knee, and He laid His hands on them and blessed them. The world implants junk inside of us. Our broken human nature riles and wars and rages inside of us. The world that we live in and the devil that runs the world lies to us and puts all kinds of twisted ideas in our heads, and we receive those things into our hearts. But God wants to help you get rid of the junk. And God wants to get rid of the imitations. God
wants to get rid of the generic things in your life and the generic beliefs and the imitation spiritual experiences. And he wants you to experience pure love. Clean, powerful, transforming, and renewing. God wants to turn your world upside down with his love and put it inside of your heart and send you out and let you turn other people's worlds upside down as well. Come on, church. Let's hunker down for a few moments and let's pray together, Jesus. God, you know how sometimes...